You know, is that the question is this, that if you are in a higher grade, will you be able to influence, is that what you're saying, this world more?
Yes.
Well, this is what Baha'u'llah says to us. He's not talking of the influence of those, he says the holy souls. In his writings, he talks about the influence of the holy souls in this life is so great that it can produce all the arts and sciences in this life and become the cause of growth. It is obviously from the holy souls that will be that this will happen. But again, you see, these are only, as I said, our own limited, very, very limited understanding of the realities and the truths. We shall know it in the next life fully, what's happening. Yes? Sorry?
I would like to know if parents will aid or encourage the growth of the souls of their children.
Sorry, I couldn't hear what. Could somebody tell me? Because I can't hear it from there.
She said, can parents aid in the growth of the souls of their children?
Of course. You know, there again, we hear in the writings that. Through prayer, the souls of those who passed away can progress through the instrumentality of prayer, through the instrumentality of some charity work in the name of your children, in the memory of whoever it is, in the service that you yourself render to the cause. All of these things will aid the souls who are passed on to progress. And I will want to mention this to you, that when people who have come from the East, like myself, not nowadays, but in the old days, there was a very clear attitude about oneself, and that was that I am not an important person, that I do not ever celebrate my own birthday. I'll just give you an example of it. Nobody in my time, when I was young, in the East, would ever consider even, or dream of, or think about that I have to celebrate my birthday. They considered that they were so insignificant that you don't celebrate yourself. The only person's birthday which was worthy of celebration was that of a prophet. That's when it's a holy day. And so there was never such a thing as doing this, because they considered this will create an ego growing and egotistical attitude of turning to yourself and becoming a center of attraction or center of attention on your birthday. Well, I'm not saying that anything against birthday, don't mistake it now. I'm not saying you can do what you like. I'm just mentioning to you that this was the attitude. But instead of that, instead of celebrating your birthday, they always commemorated one of their dear ones who had passed away and would pray for him on the anniversary of his passing. So that the anniversary that you could have was that of your passing. When you passed, your family would sit and would pray for you on the anniversary, would invite their friends to come together on that evening, on that day, in memory of that person. And then they would pray for him. They considered this was much better than celebrating your own birthday, because then your soul will progress as a result of the prayers of yourself and your friends. Now, who knows how these things will adjust themselves in the future? The more we pay attention to ourselves. Now, I don't want you to go around and say, I've said something against holding your birthday. Well, go on and do it as much as you want and blow all the candles and all the things you do. But all I'm saying is, nothing to do with birthdays, but what I'm saying is, that the attitude should be that of not playing up our ego, but playing it down. to subdue our ego, which we were talking about last night somehow. You cannot destroy it. You must not kill it. Because if we do that, we are not, we can't live in this life. You have to have yourself. You have to have, this is part of you. You can't. But it is a very dangerous animal. A self and ego. And when it comes out, all you have to do is to put a rein on it and hold it in your hand and control it. Probably we will mention a little bit about that. I'll make a note of it to bring this matter up later on. Now, any other questions here that you can, you want to talk about what so far we've said? If not, then we'll go. Yes? Well, I'll answer the second question because it's easier to deal with it this way. You see, this world we are having is a world of relativity. Everything in relation to something else. And therefore, you come across shadows and lights because everything is relative. Even a bad man, as you call him, is very good in relation to another man who is worse than him. You see? So things are relative. And there is darkness and there is light. But Abdu'l-Bahá mentions, he says, if you were living in the sun, there would be no day and no light. No day and no night. It would be, everything would be still. And in the next life, there is no, this is not a world of relativity, it's the world of the absolute. You see now? So that nothing will emerge from that world, will radiate except good. And this is my understanding from the writings and looking at nature. But whether despair is a lack of confidence, these are matters which we don't want to split hair. Now, if you think it is, all right.
Well, the reason I ask is that one, can there be despair and depression in the next world?
Oh, in the next world, you mean? No, no.
Yeah, because
not. We are talking, I thought you meant in this life.
No.
Oh, yeah. No. In the next life, you can see everything is positive, and despair is not there. They cannot have despair in the spiritual worlds of God. You see, it is all confidence and all positive qualities. Everything is positive. Yes, everything, every little bit of good. It is good. It's like having $1 with you. Well, $1 is money. It's just like $100, except it is less in value, but it is of the same quality. You know. I think that we cannot understand. You must always realize that what we are doing in here, we are getting an impression of what's happening and not the reality. But from the writings, the more we read the writings, the more we understand. It's not a bad thing if at this moment in here or some other stage, because maybe we'll have more people in the afternoon, I will talk about this aspect of understanding. Which is a very important aspect in our life. Maybe we'll leave that later on. Any other questions now? And if not, we will go to that subject. We'll continue with it. Or are you tired now? What is the time? 10:45. Do you want to give yourself 5 minutes of a break? Everybody wants 5 minutes of a break, and then we come back again. I feel we should now continue our subject. But is there any other questions before I go on? There was a gentleman, a lady first. Yes, you were first there. You remember in the back?
And I
Yes. Yes, the question is this, that if a child is born blind, for instance, and of course in this world he has missed an awful lot, what happens to his soul? Isn't that what you're saying in the next life? No? Oh, what we don't have. Oh, I see. Yeah, you mean to say that if we do not acquire certain qualities and perfections here, and we said that we cannot get them in the next life, what will happen? Well, again, I you see, remember this, we cannot be, we are not here going to be discussing this entirely on a rational basis and just say exactly what's going to happen. What we understand from the writings, that's all I can say, is that we must acquire these qualities and perfections in this life. This is the place for acquiring them. If we do not acquire them, we cannot get them in the next life. Then there is a question here which we must never overlook, and it is the bounties of God and the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. That's another thing. These are all the elements which must be taken into consideration. We know a child, for instance, who has not had the opportunity to develop these qualities and perfections in this life, God will compensate it for him in the next life through his bounties. I don't know how God will deal with us if we have not acquired these qualities and perfections. We cannot be sort of in here sitting and giving a judgment and say this is exactly what's going to happen. One thing we know, and that is that forgiveness of God is very great. Very great indeed. You cannot underestimate the forgiveness of God. I am sure myself in my thoughts, in my mind, this is my feeling, that God will forgive everybody. Now, I'm not saying that God will immediately put us all on the same level. Yeah, we will be in our own levels, but God is very forgiving. And all the wrong things we do, God can and will forgive. There are some things that he cannot forgive. We'll discuss this later on. It is not something that he doesn't want to forgive, but he cannot. It's against the laws of creation. And one of those things I mentioned is this covenant breaking. But Abdu'l-Bahá mentions, if you do not educate your children properly, if you do not educate them, if you do not teach them the law of God and the love of God, it's something which God cannot forgive. I don't know what it means, how he will deal with us. There are few things that are unforgivable by God, but his forgiveness is very, very great. The ocean of his forgiveness is very immense. But it must not become a license that we can say, all right, now that God is forgiving, let's go and have a jolly good time here. You have to remember that we have to acquire limbs and spiritual qualities and perfections here. This is the purpose of life. You know, speaking of God's forgiveness, I'll tell you a little story just to amuse you a little bit. It's just to amuse you. You know, there was a very great religious leader in the East, in Persia. And one day God said to him, and he had a lot of followers. This man had a lot of followers. And he was very proud of himself. He became proud a little bit. And God said to him, do you want me to... he said, I see you have a lot of followers, he said. I see you have a lot of followers. Do you want me to reveal to all your followers some of your bad qualities which you're hiding from them? And if I reveal all these bad qualities, all these followers will leave you. Do you want me to do that? He said. This man thought things are getting very bad. He decided to do a little bit of blackmailing. He said to God, do you want me to tell the people about the great ocean of your forgiveness That you forgive everybody so that if they hear it, nobody will worship you anymore. And God thought, this is getting very bad. He said, we'll make a deal. I won't reveal all your bad qualities, and you don't talk so much about the ocean of my forgiveness. That's right. So I think it gives us an idea. Yes? Sorry? Yeah, well, if you like, we can discuss this. I'll make a note of this question, and sometime we'll discuss it when we'll be dealing with the subject. Now, can I ask, you had a question on this point there? Yeah, all right. Yes, yes. You want to know what the fear of God is. Well, now look, I think we leave that subject also for later on. I'll make a note of these things. It'll come up a little bit later. These will fit in better at the later stage. Now, if there is no other questions, I think I'll go now and talk about this. And I'm not, I suppose some of you have not heard the first part of this talk, and so I don't know what you will learn now or will listen now. But anyhow, I'm not going to say what I have so far said, but I feel that it is essential to say this much, that we said that the soul comes from the spiritual worlds of God, it's an emanation from the worlds of God, that it is here to acquire spiritual qualities and perfections, so that in the next life it can use those qualities and perfections to enable him to progress. And we said that this seems to be the purpose of life. But really, this is not the essential purpose of life. There is a far, far greater purpose in life, that God has created us for something far, far greater than this. He has not just created us to come into this world and acquire qualities and perfections alone. He has created us for something far greater. And in order to appreciate this, I'm going to take you to nature again. Because I'm telling you this morning that nature will give us an awful lot of insight into spiritual things, provided you read the writings. In nature, you will notice anything which grows, which has an organic growth, has a beginning. And the beginning of it is when you put the seed down in the soil. You put the seed down in the soil, the seed will germinate. Then there come a time, it's like again conception of a child, it's the same thing. The seed will germinate, and then you have a little plant, and then the plant grows, and it becomes a tree. But now this tree, we can say it can only fulfill itself, fulfill the purpose for which this tree is created, is to give its fruit. When it gives its fruit, when it gives its seed, we'll say now it has fulfilled itself. It has carried out what it was created for. See, everything has to begin, has a beginning, it grows, it must give it fruit, it must bring a child. The soul is the same thing. Our soul has a beginning. We said it this morning. It has a time when the soul begins to grow in the first, at the time of conception, it grows and it acquires spiritual qualities just like the tree that is growing. But at a certain time, and not immediately now, it's the same way with the tree. The tree cannot immediately come and give its fruit. It has to reach an age of maturity. And when the tree reaches the age of maturity, then it'll give its fruit. The same thing is with the soul. The soul comes into this life. It first is created.